Good morning. Welcome to each of you as we gather here in the Lord's house this morning. As we do each week, please take a moment to sign a friendship register in the center side of each row and pass it along to your neighbors. And while you're doing that, Lana has a word that she would like to share. Lana, is Lana here? There she is, hiding in the front row this time. Yes, indeed. It has been a true blessing to have Dennis and Carrie here with us these past seven years. Well, folks, welcome to the month of April. Next week is Palm Sunday, and there will be an Easter egg hunt, scavenger hunt, and other activities for the children of the church. We could use your help by providing candy to fit into the hundreds of plastic Easter eggs. There are further details in the bulletin announcement page. Please, no chocolate or things that could melt, and nothing with peanuts, including peanut butter, because of allergy concerns. We also still need about six more people to help with this event on Palm Sunday. It's only for 2 hours, from 3 to 5 p.m., and it's just a lot of fun, so please let us know if you can help. Then on Maundy, Thursday, April 14th, a week from this Thursday, we will gather here in the sanctuary for a worship service at 7 o'clock in the afternoon. Then, of course, Easter Sunday, April 17th, 2 weeks from today, we will have a sunrise service at 6:45, followed by breakfast at 7, and then our usual services at 8:30 and 11 o'clock with the flowering of the cross. If you can help with the cost of flowers, and we do use lots of them, please fill out the sheet in your bulletin and include a check. Just write the words flowering of the cross in the memo line, and then place that in the offering tray later in the service, or you can just as easily send it or bring it to the church office during the week. Also, during the 11 o'clock service on Easter Sunday, we will experience the joy of seeing one of our youth, Braden, down here. Braden will be baptized at the very beginning of the 11 o'clock service on that day. It's always a beautiful thing to see our youngest among us and see them accept Christ in a more formal way. And now that it's spring, it's also that time of year that we start to think about mowing. If you are interested in being part of a mowing crew, to mow the church grounds, please see Dave Tarver. I thought I saw Dave earlier. There's Dave right there. Yeah, Mr. John Deere himself. So please see Dave if you're able to help with mowing. And now Bob has a word for a minute of mission.
Good morning. This month, Clay County Clothes Closet has a need for more clothes. So it's a great time to clean out your closets or have your spring cleaning. If you haven't wore it in the last 3 years, consider getting it out of your way. All new and gentle used clothes will be appreciated. They have a special need for youth clothing, 10 years of age and younger. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord with all our hearts. We will thank the Lord in the assembly of his people. All who are delighted with them want to understand them. His righteousness is eternal. We'll now sing number 82, all stanzas of His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? With Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. And I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
we bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, as we journey toward Holy Week, we pause to contemplate the meaning of Easter, and we offer you praise for providing us a place where we can remember Christ's journey to the cross and his sacrifice, and especially his resurrection. Holy God, we know there are many in this world who don't have the freedoms that we do to worship in a way that we choose. We thank you, Lord, for this freedom that we often take for granted. And as we begin our service of worship now, we welcome the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, folks, please be seated.
Don't like them. We'll just have you stand right here, if that's okay. It's all right. There we go. Bless you guys. It is truly our joy this morning to celebrate a dedication service. And so I begin by saying, dear friends, we take a moment from our worship service this morning as Sean and Lauren Murphy come forward with their son Graham and also their daughter Madeline for this service of dedication, as we also welcome Lauren's mother Rhonda, who is with us a little bit further back, as she has made the journey here to be with us from her home in Charleston, South Carolina, to witness and celebrate this occasion. As Graham and Madeline are brought before each of us in the presence of God, may we be in a prayerful spirit and remember how children were brought before Jesus to be blessed. In that first expression of dedication, God's great compassion was expressed by Jesus as he said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because of such is the kingdom of heaven." And so in like manner, may each of us now accept Graham and Madeline and their family with our sincerest meditations before God. And so Sean and Lauren, in your willingness to bring Graham and Madeline before God and the witnesses we have here, you've already expressed the desire to proceed on this lifelong task of nurturing your children in an atmosphere of Christian living. No task in life will be more challenging or rewarding. Carpenters build mansions and are dazzled at their splendor. Sculptors create statues and marvel at their form. But all these are timely and they crumble with age. There is no task more endearing than the formation of a child's personality, for the jewel of the immortal soul prevails for all eternity. And with these thoughts in mind, do you, Sean, and you, Lauren, pledge before these witnesses to nurture Graham and Madeline in a way of life that is befitting of the Christian faith? And if so, would you respond by saying, we do.
We do.
Bless you. Bless you both. And I want to make a presentation to you. I've got here for you, first of all, this is a children's Bible storybook. And the wonderful thing about this is that these kind of Bible storybooks do a good job of giving the majority of the stories of Scripture in a very brief form, but also with colorful pictures. And the references to text are also here, so it always gives you an opportunity to kind of catch up on where things are going. And I have with this particular Bible storybook, your dedication certificates for Graham and Madeline. And you know, your hands are full already. So, and in addition to that, I've got this smaller one. This is one of those hard page books that has just a few of the stories, but I know that Graham's gonna be able to get a hold of that here pretty quick, and he'll be able to drag that around the house. And then a little later on, he's gonna be able to read this one to his sister, won't he?
Yeah.
And so we present both of those to you both. And now to the congregation. Do each of you pledge to do your best through your prayers and your spiritual support to help nurture the Murphy family in an atmosphere of Christian compassion? And if so, would you all please respond by saying, we do.
We do.
Praise God. That's a good, zesty we do, too. Thank you. Praise God for that. And with the conviction on the part of Sean and Lauren and Rhonda and the rest of the family, and with the conviction of all of you here as a part of the family of Jesus Christ in Berry Christian Church, we celebrate the scriptures as they tell us in Proverbs, train up a child in the way that that child should go, and that child will never depart from that. May we pray. Gracious and holy God, what a privilege it is for us as the Murphy family has come forward for this service of dedication. We pray your great blessing to be upon them, and especially for Graham and Madeline as they begin this journey of understanding our Lord Jesus. For in knowing Christ, we know you. Guide us in this endeavor to be supportive in all ways possible. In Christ's name, we give thanks for the privilege to have this dedication. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Give him a hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, now we can.
And I think Madeline wins today's prize for truly being the youngest among us this morning. And she stayed quiet the whole time. What a blessing. All right. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
See, this is my favorite thing. Celebrate. We should always celebrate. First, we need to celebrate our children. Yeah, I love it. I love a stage full of kids. But we always need to celebrate God. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate the Holy Spirit. Because when we celebrate them, they will celebrate us. We keep them in our hearts, in our minds, and our lives. They're going to be there, right there. Yeah? This is a very short message today because obviously we had a lot of stuff going on today. We have some new families here, so just briefly, we have a nursery upstairs for any children four or under, if you care to take them up. We have a children's church downstairs for fifth grade and under. Everybody is welcome. And for our older kids, sixth grade and above, we have a youth church upstairs, and Jim is standing at the back of the sanctuary, and he'll be glad to show you up the way. Okay, should we have a really brief prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you for the glory of these children. Thank you for the glory that is you and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
All right, let's go.
God bless you all, Kathy. God bless you. Kathy has reminded us that the boom box has been replaced by the mobile phone, right? And aren't we grateful? A number of people for us to lift up in prayer as we make our way through this new week. First of all, we want to lift up John and Mary Jane Adams, as John will be undergoing a surgery for the vertebrae of his neck that will be taking place on the 13th of April at the KU Medical Center. Also, our thanks to the many folks who assisted with the service and the meal for the memorial service for Michael Barnes that took place here in the sanctuary yesterday afternoon. Many of you may know that Michael was the second son of Rosemary Barnes, who, you know, longtime part of our congregation, the entire Barnes family, you know, many decades a part of our church, but Rosemary especially being a part of our choir for so many years prior to her passing into the Lord's presence in November of 18. Dolly Llewellyn has really begun to see a turnabout, and I am so grateful for that, aren't you? Praise God. Let's just hope all that goes in a steady progression for her as she's now in rehabilitation. Her voice is a little bit more distinguishable and a little bit more strength and renewal. We're so grateful for that and hope that continues. We also lift up Russell Stewart as he is home, making that recovery from the left knee replacement surgery. Lon Anderson, he normally is here in this service, sits usually over in this portion over here. He was sharing with me this past week that he's been dealing with pancreatic cancer since about October, and it is at stage four. So please keep Lon in your prayers as treatments are underway. He is still working and works the night shift. He also has to work Saturday night and Sunday night. That's one of the reasons why we're not seeing him here as much as we had been, because, you know, by the time he works all, you know, he gets off at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. And given the medical concerns, he's just exhausted, but still trying to work. So keep him in our prayers. Betty and Jerry, what a joy to see you both. Praise God. We're glad you all are here this morning. Praise God. Good to see you as we keep you in prayer. We're also mindful of Gene Kimmerling. He is now in hospice care at McCrite. We also continue to keep in prayer Don and Mary Jane Hagen's cousin, David Brownfield, and family members, Laura Bennett and Emily. Val Stringer's brother, Matt Mattson. We also continue to keep in prayer Rihanna Ralston and Chris Bishop. And we praise God that Joan Hamilton is seeing good progress with that recovery from the hip replacement surgery. We hope we'll be seeing her in the near future here. We also keep in prayer Madeline Pulliam and Joe and Kathy Weekly and Betty Riga. So with all these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving for the privilege to assemble in your house of worship, for here your Spirit dwells among us and brings us comfort. Here we listen to your word and we are led by its wisdom and guidance. Here we experience the joy of Christian fellowship and find hope in the trust we are able to engender toward one another. Here, O God, we are assured the blessing of life eternal granted by your great grace and the willingness of your Son to fulfill your plan of salvation. And as the season of Lent comes to a close and Eastertide will soon be upon us in this month of April, may we truly experience hope and joy in Christ's resurrection, even as new life emerges from the warmth of the spring season. For even as we lift up our petitions for those among us in need of your great care and offer our prayers for the many suffering injustices and times of war, we find great comfort in the truth that deliverance from all tragedies will one day come through the victory of Jesus Christ. This we pray in thanksgiving as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh,
Isn't it a joy to have our choir back? Praise God. We're just so grateful. Thank you. George Bernard passed through a trying experience that caused him to reflect seriously on the meaning of the cross. He spent long hours in study and prayer and later wrote of the experience, "I saw the Christ of the cross as if I were seeing John 3:16 leave the printed page, take form, and act out the meaning of redemption. The more I contemplated these truths, the more convinced I became that the cross was far more than just a religious symbol, but rather the very heart of the gospel." Through this journey, Bernard began writing a hymn about the cross of Christ in the fall of 1912. The words did not come instantly, but the hymn finally was completed in January of 1913, and then sung for the very first time at a revival where Pastor Bernard was preaching. It is therefore with humble contemplation then that we take to heart what Christ truly undertook as he bore the old rugged cross for the redemption of our souls, as we sing the first and fourth stanzas of this very familiar hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, number 548.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. The old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Barbara leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, thank you for the beautiful day and for this church and this church family. As we gather around this communion table, let us remember your Son who died on the cross for our sins so we can have eternal life with you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. As we continue our prayers for the people of Ukraine while they seek to preserve the democratic character of their independent state, I share with you that your gifts that have been received over the last several weeks, totaling $2,154, are being sent on behalf of Berry Christian Church through the Week of Compassion offering of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ to support their personal needs and recovery. For your generosity, we are grateful, as we also receive your tithes and offerings that support the ministries of this church every week. We give you thanks as Mary leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, as we gather these tithes and offerings today, please use it for your kingdom and your glory. May it be a great blessing to many. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you this morning, Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 21 through 26. You have heard it said that people were told in the past, do not commit murder. Anyone who does will be brought to trial. But now I tell you, whoever is angry with his brother will be brought to trial. Whoever calls his brother you good for nothing will be brought before the council. And whoever calls his brother a worthless fool will be in danger of going to the fire of hell. So if you are about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go at once and make peace with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift to God. If someone brings a lawsuit against you and takes you to court, settle the dispute with him while there is still time before you get to court. Once you are there, he will turn you over to the judge, who will hand you over to the police, and you'll be sent to jail. There you will stay until you pay the last penny of your fine. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we're grateful for the privilege to once again be in your house and to know that as we listen to Jesus' words, we are indeed guided so that we can conduct our lives in ways that bring honor to your kingdom and help us to reconcile ourselves with you and others. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. We are continuing this journey. You know, we got through the Beatitudes, and now we are into the beginning heart, if you will, of the Sermon on the Mount. But here in this section of scripture from Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, until the end of the chapter, we have six sections in which Jesus begins each section by saying, "You have heard it said." In each section, Jesus mentions then a familiar Old Testament commandment for which the Jewish follower should be willing to obey. But after stating the ancient rule, Jesus puts his own spin on how his listeners should respond to the law, as he then says to them, "But I say unto you." And in his response concerning each ancient rule, Jesus is imploring his followers to not only obey the ancient command, but to go an extra step and to cease the all too familiar escalating cyclical patterns of destructive behavior that lead not only to disobedience of the ancient command, but also devastating consequences for all concerned. In today's scripture text, here verses 21 through 26 of chapter 5, that ancient command is what? Do not commit murder. But Jesus is saying, not only should you not murder anyone, what you really need to do is to stop the cycle of anger that leads to murder. For one's anger toward a brother, a neighbor, a co-worker, etc., so easily leads to rage, rage to contempt, contempt to violence, and violence so often culminates in that final consequence of murder, in which nothing can be taken back. The ultimate pathway of destruction has culminated in the destruction of the object of one's contempt. And in his attempt to offer resolution to this vicious cycle, Jesus gives his listeners two illustrations that were quite familiar to those who were listening to the Sermon on the Mount. First of all, we have in verses 23 and 24 the first illustration, that of offering one's gift to God at the altar, saying that if you remember that your brother has something against you, you're to leave that gift at the altar before you present it to God. Go to your brother, resolve the issue, and then return back and make your offering. This quickly took Jesus' listeners to a familiar story that would have been a part of their Jewish heritage. And even though this is not mentioned in what we see in the text, the listeners would have caught on to what Jesus was talking about, because Jesus talks about murder, and he talks about an offering before God. What you must understand, because these people were so very literate in their scriptures of the day, murder and offering to God immediately sent them to the story of what? Cain murdering his brother Abel. We have to understand that in those very primitive times of the beginning portion of Scripture, people believed that they got their crops to grow and animals to produce offspring by presenting the best of what they had as an offering to God. In fact, that was part of the instructions of the Deuteronomic Code. And the story in Genesis chapter 4 reveals that Abel gave the best that he had and therefore prospered, but Canaan didn't give the best and therefore he failed to prosper. And then verse 5 states, Cain became furious and he scowled with anger. Cain's anger then led to that vicious cycle of rage, contempt, violence, and ultimately murder of his brother, as verse 8 says. Cain turned on his brother and killed him. In this illustration, Jesus is suggesting that if Cain had sought out Abel's help, rather than to seethe in jealousy and anger. The outcome could have not only rendered success for Cain, but certainly would have prevented the terrible pathway of anger, rage, contempt, and violence that then led to the tragic erasing of Abel's life. That's the first illustration. Now the second one. This particular illustration comes to us in verses 25 and 26 of this morning's text. Here Jesus is talking about the occasion of a defendant owing money to a plaintiff. You get that in the last portion of the last verse. In these verses, Jesus is saying that once the plaintiff becomes so frustrated and angry about the unpaid debt, he will be forced to take the matter to the courts. And in this time period, when there was a dispute about, you know, payment not being made, the plaintiff and the defendant both had to go before the judge at the same time and plead their case. The judge would find the defendant guilty of not paying his debt on time. The defendant would immediately be arrested, put in jail until, as verse 26 says, the last penny of the debt is paid in full. And of course, everyone knows, those who were listening to Jesus, and even if we think about the whole idea of a debtor's prison not too far back into our own colonial history or European history, we know that once one is in prison, it is incredibly difficult to pay off one's debt when one can't work. Can you? The only way your debt is going to get paid is if you have a very generous relative or friend who's willing to, literally, if you will, bail you out. In this second illustration, just as the first then, Jesus is saying to his listeners, don't let your transgressions get out of hand. So do you reach the point where there is no recourse that can lead to a favorable outcome? Cain's jealousy, his anger, his rage, his contempt, and violence led to Abel's death. The indebted person's ignoring of the mounting debt caused his benefactor to be filled with anger and contempt. So finally, the person offering the loan is forced to drag the debtor into the courts, and the debtor is faced with endless imprisonment. In today's portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is offering, though, a new alternative to this vicious cycle of anger, rage, contempt, violence, and murder. Jesus offers a pathway of reconciliation between oneself and another person, no matter how badly we may have wronged another, and no matter how badly we feel that we have been wronged by another. Jesus offers a formula to stop the vicious cycle. He says, first, don't start calling the person with whom you're not getting along bad names, because that does nothing but escalate the trouble. Second, don't let the sun set until what? Don't let the sun set on your anger, right? Third, whatever are the circumstances, go to the person with whom you have a conflict and seek to resolve your differences. And fourth, Jesus believes that one can't truly worship God properly so long as transgressions between God's people exist. Years ago, when I was serving as a hospital chaplain, the medical center where I served was the primary trauma center for the northern part of downtown San Antonio. Thus, we certainly did receive a great number of violent events involving stabbings and shootings, too often leading to the death of one or, in some occasions, several people. But what I found striking as I was called to these events. And in that time period, not only did you have to be the chaplain to kind of nurture the families of the victims as family members would flood the emergency area, but we were basically one of the primary folks to help with crowd control, as we had not only the victims' folks coming in, but often even the perpetrators' folks coming in too. And so imagine the amount of controversy and stuff that would be going on in the midst of all of this. But what so often struck me is that the perpetrator, as well as the victim, so often they knew one another. So often they were relatives. So often they were friends, if you will. So often they'd known each other for decades. But again, it is that matter where you get a little bit of a disagreement going on, and that disagreement leads to anger, the anger to rage, the rage to contempt, the contempt to violence, and the violence to death. What is needed is reconciliation at the beginning of it all. Right? That's what is needed. Jesus encourages the listeners in verse 24, go at once and make peace with your brother or sister, and then come back and offer your offering to God. Reconciliation is the key to ending that cycle of violence. And as the sign says outside this morning, reconciled in Christ. We are all first reconciled in Christ. And the text I lift up out on the sign, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, also gives us the ministry of reconciliation. So the heartland of all of this, Jesus is saying, yeah, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. But what I say unto you is first reconcile yourself to one another. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 556, Trust and Obey, stanzas 1 and 4, please. 556.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you so much for being in the Lord's house this morning. We hope it's been a wonderful day. I think it has been, right? It's been a lovely morning to be in the Lord's house, and we thank you for being here. We're a little bit late, so Lenora, for the closing psalm, how about if we just sing the one verse instead of both of them? But I want to remind you again, a number of activities taking place as we approach Holy Week. It's all in your bulletin. Be mindful of that, and especially on Thursday, we need help getting those eggs filled. And we do need candy for the eggs before Thursday, and again, we need donations for the flowering of the cross. Be the first time we've been able to get back to the flowering of the two crosses for the two services on Easter Sunday morning as our children help us with that task, and we're looking forward to that. Your donations are appreciated. May we pray. Lord God, guide us, direct us in ways that we know we can be reconciled to one another as you have reconciled us to yourselves, to yourself, through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. With a shepherd's care enfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet.